Hello folks, Pilgrim Chris here, 26th of April 2012, and I've just been listening to a audioboo from Paul Omani of Omani Blog, talking about counselling. And it's a funny thing really, when things converge and pull together. I've been having similar conversations and listening to other people on a similar subjects recently, and with a few people really. I won't mention names, but it's a subject that I'm quite interested in, because I've never had counselling. No, I tell a lie. I went for 4 sessions, and the counsellor at the end of those 4 sessions said, I don't need counselling. The reason I went to the sessions in the first place was peer pressure. I'd gone through a huge personal tragedy, injustice, one of those life-shaking moments where you either get up or you crawl in a hole and die. And as some of you who follow me know, I do suffer from what I call my dark days. And this is a legacy of that time. And I never believed in counselling. My mother, at the time, was quite supportive, as all mothers are, and through my period of this period of my life that was shocking. And revealed to me that she'd been going to counselling for 17 years and explained the process to me and how it had benefited her eventually. Paul was saying there how he sort of resisted the counselling initially, and I think that's something I do to this day. I resist that sort of, whether it's to do with the thought that I can fix myself, physician, heal thyself, or whether it's a common mistrust I had at the time of other people, because I did have a huge mistrust of people. And I'm only just getting over that, really, some years on. And I'm getting over that through support of people who I didn't expect support from. And also the realisation of the lack of support from people I expected support from. Quite an interesting time. I'm sure some of us have experienced these things ourselves. And counselling for me has always been that option. But for me it's always been an option that I've never really wanted to take. And as I say, I went for 4 sessions under peer pressure after 2 years of resisting, only to be told by the counsellor I didn't need counselling because I knew everything already. I knew the steps I needed to take, as it were. And as I was talking with a very, very close friend of mine about this, this was my deliberate attempt. This was the response I wanted from the counsellor. And I suppose I was put off by counselling then, fully, because I expected, rightly or wrongly, the counsellor to see through my guile, if you like, what I was saying, to sort of see through that, because I did need counselling. I know I needed something, and I knew I was struggling on my own. Paul was mentioning Simon and how Simon speaks to his imaginary friends, and how the support network on Audioboo is good for Paul and for others too. It certainly works for me. By support, I mean it's nice to have people who are interested in you, I suppose, because that's a support in itself. But I'm taking that stage further with the imaginary friends. We all have imaginary friends, and as Paul mentioned in his boo, children have them, we think nothing of it. And we can have our imaginations. My imaginary friend, if you like, is God. And so I don't have any I don't hold any problems with people having imaginary friends. I'm often accused of having an imaginary friend myself. But of course, to me, it isn't imaginary, it's very real. And Paul was saying it's very real for him too, to imagine that people are listening to his booze, this particular boo that he made, and that gives him comfort, support, a sense of well-being. We can all take our comforts where we find them, whether we have a faith, whether we take them from imaginings, whether we take them from reality, or a combination of all things. And counselling for me was never a comfort. It was the thought of it was never a comfort. But having spoken to a friend, and this was a conversation I think was only last night, yesterday, about this, was that I've actually had counselling, albeit in a different way. Through this dark period of my life, I visited a monastery, Mount St Bernard Abbey in Leicestershire, the Cistercian Order. And I didn't have much idea of monks at the time. I knew what monks were, of course, and I knew the routines, but I didn't have this idea of what it really meant to be a monk. And I didn't realise at the time that most monks are trained counsellors, especially those that offer retreats into their monasteries, somewhere for people to go to escape from the world for a while, if you like. And I went there for peace and quiet. I went there just to get away from the... well, to try and get away from my own head, more than anything. Thoughts were tumbling around. I was in a very, very dark place. And I can say as truthfully as I know it, that my children, the fact that I had children, kept me here. Very difficult, really. Kept me here. And I, at that time, I loved that and loathed that. I loved my children and I loathed them. I loathed them because they were keeping me here when I didn't want to be here anymore. But I loved them for the fact that they were my children and they loved me. And their support, and they were young at the time, their support was their unquestioning, their unconditional love was... well, it's an inspiration, really. When we talk of love in this world, I think we can learn a lot from how children perceive love, simplistically, non-committedly, unconditionally, trustingly. All these things I'd lost, all these ideas of love, these ideas of being loved, how to love, had been lost to me through... not just through the tragedy, I call it the tragedy, it's a word I use for the event. But before that, I was a selfish person for a long time, and I still am. It's something I'm struggling with on a daily basis. And I was a very selfish person. And so a lot of things that were happening to me were based upon me, my own doing, my own flaws as a human being. But the tragedy should never have happened, and the fact that it did and the fallout from that was quite immense, hence the urgings from my peers and family and friends to seek counselling. But as I say, I went to this monastery instead, and I knew about this monastery. My mother had been and had been trying to get me to go for a long time anyway, and I resisted because although I am a person of faith, my faith has never been one that I would call conventional, really. And I don't subscribe... I am Catholic, but I don't subscribe to everything. I don't think we can. I think as a human being that we have to shape our faiths, our beliefs, our understandings of the world on who we are too, and how we've lived our lives and how we live our lives. It's very difficult to have rules and regulations to apply to all, although of course we need them in all sorts of life to structure ourselves, to give ourselves to take ourselves out of the chaos. So I went to the monastery, and I didn't really know what to expect. And I met someone called Thomas, Brother Thomas, an aging man, whose simplistic approach made me go back again. We never talked about faith. God was never brought into conversations for a long time. And I didn't realise what was going on until afterwards. And I was reminded of this yesterday, as I said, in a conversation that I had, that I was being counselled. I went there for a year, and I didn't live there every day for a year. I lived there 4 days out of the week. I couldn't work. I was shot. Everything had gone. I'd lost everything, and I was just everything that was stripped away from me. And so I went, and I knew that I wanted to keep going, and I looked forward to going. I looked forward to being in a place where no one judged me, no one wanted to draw me out of myself. I was just left to let be, but in an environment of, I felt this environment of understanding and compassion, even without having to talk. Eventually, I got to know the community very well, and I wanted to join the monastery, and part of me still does, although I don't think I ever will, because we have choices in life, and I'm in a situation where I have my own peace now, and my own area, my own relationships, and that's working. And I learned from the monastery many things. I learned to be quiet. Hard to believe, I know. But I learned to be quiet. I learned to be quiet within myself. Listening isn't about listening to other people. Listening is just being quiet. It isn't necessary to force ourselves to listen to others. We do or we don't. We can train ourselves. We can be more compassionate. We can be more thoughtful. Mindful, as McColgan and Paul O'Mahony talk about, being mindful. That's another thing. Mindful of everything around us. Mindful of people around us. I learnt this, although those lessons are hard to maintain if we don't concentrate on that and make it part of our daily lives. It's like all good things. All good things come to an end if we let them. The trick is to not think we are cured, not think that is now past for us, but to keep on using those lessons that we learn in everyday life. I forget to do this a lot. I get overtaken by other things. I allow myself to be overtaken by other things. Indeed, I put other things in the way. Stubbornness, I suppose. Rebelliousness. Traits I share with a lot of people I know. And they don't do us any favours, but they are what shape us. They are what make life interesting and livable. And by livable, I don't mean just to exist or survive. I mean to live life. How we live life, well, that's different for everyone. I learnt that I didn't need to go to a counsellor. I just needed counselling, and to find that where, in whatever method it came. Some people call it fate, some people call it divine providence, some people call it luck, some people just call it karma or whatever. But I believe that if we're open to an idea, wanting some form of help for ourselves, then that help will come. And when it does come, we have to be able to recognise it. Not necessarily immediately, but eventually. And I recognised this counselling, this help from the monastery, around about a quarter of the year into going frequently. I realised what was happening. Certain brothers were taking more of an interest in me, opening themselves up to me. And of course, I subsequently learned this was part of the process that they know works with people who want to seek something, who want some sort of, or need some sort of help. And it's not an attack, it's not a it's an understanding of the people that are coming into the monastery. It's an understanding, and the brothers are well trained for this. It isn't just a place where a lot of people, myself included, thought it was a place where a load of people sit around and pray for the salvation of the world. And of course they do, and that, for me, is commendable. But it's far more than that. And it became my sanctuary here, my sanctuary. Without it, I don't think I would have survived. Certainly without it, I wouldn't be the person that I am now, which is far better than the person I once was, although it's not the person I want to be. But I have the tools now, the tools to enable me to be that person. But those tools need sharpening. They need renewing. And to have those tools kept in my toolbox, kept within myself, they will just go blunt. And I won't find a use for them. So I need to keep going back to my sanctuary. I need to keep revisiting the people who are equipped with love to help. I've also learned from this to allow myself, slowly but surely, hopefully, to open up to others, to allow other people to their opinion, their thoughts, their support, and not take on board the negativities I had before, this mistrust of people I had before, mistrust of motives. Trust is a very difficult thing to regain once it's lost, and especially trust in humanity. And for a person of professed faith, this seems like a contradiction, and it is a contradiction. I make no bones about it. I'm a very contrary person. I make a lot of mistakes in my life, and I will continue to do so. I'm hoping that by the love of my fellow human beings, that those mistakes are forgiven, and that I can learn from them. And I hope I can be as compassionate back. I hope I can give out as much as I'm receiving. Counselling comes from all forms. It comes from our friends. It comes from our loved ones. It comes from the strangers that we meet. It's being open. Open to what they're saying to us. My belief is that every encounter with another human being is for our betterment. And I don't mean that in a selfish way, because of course it works the other way round. Two people meet, it isn't just for my benefit, it's for their benefit too. That doesn't mean to say that it's a direct giving of help or a conscious thing. For me, it's learning at some point something from that encounter that will enrich me, and trusting that the same thing hopefully will happen to them at some point. Something I say might be of benefit. Of course, that depends on our mentality and how our state of being. We have to be open for that. I never was. I was closed to it. So I saw every encounter as an attack. Every encounter that I needed to put my defences up. Very hard to come down from that, as I've said. Very hard to change that mentality, that feeling. Because it was deeply rooted, it affected my heart, it blackened my soul. And I'm not being melodramatic when I say that, because I know myself very, very well. And it did blacken my soul. I was surface. I could be polite, but I wasn't polite inside. And I spent a long time away from society. There was a period of 6 weeks I didn't leave my house. I shuttered myself away. After that, those 6 weeks, it took me 2 years to even go into a public place, such as a pub or a cafe. I could walk the streets, but I shunned contact. I couldn't look anybody in the face. I didn't want them to see me. I wanted to be invisible. But how was I to be invisible and yet live? How was I to live my life? How was I just to exist without interaction? And I was struggling with this for 2 years or more. What's happened since, what changes me is people. The steady but relentless interaction with people, whether I wanted it or not. It cannot be avoided at some point unless I went to live on an island and became a total recluse. And I did think about that for a long time. But no man is an island, a cliche. But it's true. We are sociable creatures, and it damages us to live by ourselves, shunning all humanity. There are the hermits, of course, that do this, but that's for a specific purpose. I don't believe that it's an answer to our problems. It certainly wasn't an answer to mine, although it was a very attractive proposition for a long time. Opening myself up, as I seem to be doing more here on Audioboo, is something that I don't know whether I'm comfortable with, but I'm going to go through the process anyway. I've had some support from unlikely sources. I have private conversations with a few people who I really respect, and their input is, because of its unlikely source really, is all the more profound. I don't know where my life is going to end up, but I know I'm in a far better place than I was a few years ago. And I only hope that I can expand on that, really. I have various things I'm interested in, of course, and projects, but these things are ultimately quite surface. They don't define who we are, though we can be defined by them. What do I want to be as a legacy? I don't even know if I want a legacy. I think I would just, for myself, like to know that I lived the life that was given to me. I lived it. Do I need counselling? Possibly. Probably. Will I ever have counselling? Probably not. Because, like I say, I get counselling from different areas. And it, one-on-one doesn't become more attractive to me as I think about it. I do have a one-on-one with people close to me, I suppose. I don't know. Anyway, I'm rambling on, and this is a point that I didn't want more than a 5-minute boo, and I will try and keep my boo shorter. I only wanted the extra time, really, for my pilgrimage and for my Share to Inspire project. But if I indulge myself now and again, I'll put a hashtag, indulgence. So if you see that, you can ignore it. But thank you anyway if you've listened, and as always, be happy, be good, and if valid, may God bless you.